with some like weird record company, like label to make an album. And so my first kind of going from like zero relationship to making music to then being in this band that was like being kind of ushered in by this guy. He was like this kind of British guy with like a goatee. He was like, you know, probably like 40, and he was kind of like this industry dude with like an earring. So he's kind of like, and he was kind of, I don't know, that kind of like tip, that like cliche, like
I can see it in my mind.
Yeah, his name was Steven, I think, and he was like taking us, he was really trying to like push us in a certain direction. And I went into the recording studio not knowing how to like play my instrument at all, and it was like coming up with these licks that I mean, I can talk about that a little bit later, but there was like a song on there, on that album, that was sort of like the song that I brought to the band, and it was just an instrumental, and it was all like piano keyboard stuff, and it had these samples of people on like telepersonal calls, like telepersonal ads.
Okay, early to bed, early to rise makes a woman healthy, wealthy, and wise. That's why you're wiser than me. It's Steven.
Which then, and that, so that was when I was 13, and it was this kind of like dark, like weird piano song, instrumental with like samples of people on telepersonals. And then I kind of had this weird realization when I was like in my mid-20s, I was in this project called Revolutions of the Mind that was all instrumental stuff that was like looping self-help cassettes and like making these mantras out of them. And then I was doing that a lot, and then I dug up this old spoof CD, and I was like, oh my God, I'm doing pretty much the same thing as I was interested in when I was 13. So that was a weird thing. But yeah, I'm not sure exactly how it shaped the whole thing, but I think that like my relationship to this Steven guy, that our producer, he kind of like became this thing that I was like repulsed by and enamored with at the same time. So I feel like I'm kind of always trying to like remain close to like this kind of like industry jargon and like playing with this I don't know, like the way that the art form is always commodity right away. Mm-hmm. And then also, you know, but then also kind of like doing it to such an extent that it's absurd and a bit grotesque, and playing like able to play with it, but I can't seem to let it go, you know what I mean? So I think that like going back to the parasite thing, I think Steven is my first producer when I was 13. It's really parasitized my musical practice.
That's I think it's that's a lot of food for thought there. I think especially with like how you adapted these kind of ideas into your MFA and how you've been writing your music these days. So like I think that says a lot about how, you know, again, like being the kind of repulsed but yet somehow fascinated by the, I guess, corporate music world, knowing how to play with it but yet not get stuck in it. It's like kind of dancing on a spider web.
Always dancing in a spider web.
Life on the surface. Gas consumption, temperature. what has been interpreted to be organisms in cell division. This is a microscopic view right through the lung itself. These down here are live organisms that remove carbon dioxide from the atmosphere, produce oxygen, as photosynthetic organisms.
Another thing I've noticed about your stuff is, well, I feel like you've embraced a lot of kind of budding audio and visual technologies, such as maybe possibly virtual reality, 360 video. You did one recently with Puzzlehead, and as well as my voice modulations and many, many more. But I feel like what's a really fun part, or that you've enjoyed dabbling in, is in some of these half-baked, as in they're not yet quite perfected technologies. How have these kind of like proto technologies managed to work with you in how you present your art?
Well, yeah, that's a good observation. I definitely have like a thing about not wanting to be too nostalgic and to like cherish sounds that I'm so comfortable with and familiar with, and sounds and aesthetics in general. It's maybe this goes back. It's going to be good. Steven will be a good conceptual tool to kind of rely on throughout the interview, maybe, because he's this kind of symbol of like fascination, something I can't let go of and I want to pursue, but I'm also disgusted by, and always is corrupting the thing that I'm trying to do in a beautiful way. So I guess with like 360 video, I don't think it looks beautiful, and I don't think it's and I think that there's so many weird things about it, but I think it's like just new, and it is, like you say, so half-baked, and it has so many glitches and flaws that I think that's what draws me to it. I think that, like, I don't want to get too theoretical here because I'm actually writing some research proposals on 360 video, but so I could accidentally go down that road. But yeah, I think like with that kind of technology, I like how it is new and unknown, but destined for failure. But then there's like, you know, there's always this chance, this like weird lottery, that I'll do something accidentally really beautiful and cool. Whereas like with media that I'm like nostalgic about or familiar with, it's like you can know exactly how to work it into the thing that's like, that's beautiful and commodifiable right away. So with 360 video, I mean, I don't think I've ever made a 360 video that I thought was like a success in any way, but I think that like just working with that technology is like, it's made me accept, I guess it's in line with my kind of collaborative partnership with Chance.
Mm-hmm. And I think they like with 360 video, because like that perspective, like you can't see everything at once naturally. So like to have it, try to present it naturally, I think is a fool's task.
I totally agree. I mean, that's exactly what now we're starting to get into the research side of things. But yeah, that's exactly what I'm interested in, is like this, it's presenting this kind of, you know, neoliberal capitalist view of the world where you're like, everything has to be revealed to me and transparent to me at all times. The cost of that is that you erase yourself, sort of. This is a very, it's almost like neoliberal critique on a fridge magnet or something, but you know, you kind of erase yourself from the image, so there's no emptiness that you can be sitting in as the viewer. You get to see everything and be not included in the picture. It's like this impossible kind of technologically mediated image that we're totally excluded from as viewers in this fundamental sense.
Well, I look forward to hearing about and how you work with these ideas in the future. Again, like it's such a, the nature of experimenting is that like if you don't do it, no one else probably will. So go nuts.
Agreed. Totally agreed. I just hope, it's just nice to have some feeling that like when you do an experiment that you're not just doing it totally for yourself. And so that's what's so nice about having Rocky around, because when I throw a 360 video on the big screen for Rocky, he goes wild.
I would love to, you should get a video of that somehow and share that with people, so they can see how Rocky interprets a 360 video. Like it's weird enough for us, but from a dog's eye view, I wonder how
it's contemporary. It's like the modern version of like a dog chasing his tail. It's like in a 360 video trying to like find himself.
Oh my gosh. I feel like there's a whole book in that idea.
Yeah. I hope so, because I got the publishing rights.
Oh, right on. Looking forward to that read. Chicken soup for the 360 soul?
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on here a bit. Collaborations, you've had a few. More recently, because of your partnership and because of we're stuck with a very small crowd these days, you've been working a lot with Catty Yoon on who has her own projects, be they with Puzzlehead. Again, you've done that 360 video a little while ago. That was, again, really interesting. She's also been doing her own, Choose Your Own Adventure poetry works, which has been getting a bit of buzz lately. You've also worked with a Polaris Prize shortlister, Otto Harp extraordinaire Basha Buat, on your project from a few years back from Montreal, Wider Smile. And I think, again, with working with interesting technologies is that, like, these are, you know, chance encounters from people. Like, the world's a very, very big place, and you just happen to meet up with these people and make this kind of music. How do you feel on, you know, these kind of chance partnerships, and how do these collaborative styles of these, again, chance per partnerships help you find a better direction for your music?
As a collaborator, I do like to collaborate a lot, and, I can be pretty kind of, the word be like, in some Taoist sense, I'm like the water and I'll conform to the shape of my collaborator. Unless I can sense that, we can't have two people like that. But I think a lot of times I like to collaborate with people because they'll ask me to do something that I wouldn't normally do. And so it challenges me to like kind of broaden my perspectives. I remember collaborating with a dear friend of mine who I won't mention here, but she is a very stern, rigid creator. And so I had to kind of like, I was really on the leash for that one. But then I ended up, and so it was like, it was tough because I was totally just like, felt like I was just doing, had to do everything perfectly to conform to her vision of this thing. And then I ended up making this wicked saxophone piece that I never would have played on my own. So it wasn't the most enjoyable process, but you know, like that stuff can be the most fruitful sometimes. Collaborating with Catty Yoon is, the 360 video that was actually a video that she made, which is incredible. That was totally like, I'd been working on some 360 video stuff. And then, we kind of messed around with the camera a little bit together. And then all of a sudden she like had this idea and took it off and like just did something like way cooler than I ever hoped to do. So let's say that one was, that was her effort there. Collaborating with Catty Yoon is my favorite thing in the world. We got a studio in the basement that is increasingly just like a big mess of all our things combined.
That sounds like a studio.
Yeah, but it's become nice because we've kind of both adopted one another's technologies that we play with. So that's been nice. The Wider Smile project was those are some fond years. I can only really look back and feel like that was a weird dream when I lived in Montreal and there were shows and stuff.
Oh, shows.
But it was hard to leave Wider Smile because that band was wicked.
Thank you.
Another thing I've kind of noticed while doing all my reading up on you, like, I feel like we've kind of touched on this a lot a bit throughout our interview, is, you know, your affinity for the metaphysics, literature, biology. You mentioned a lot about parasites, viruses, and etc. in your MFA there that kind of helped me lead a lot of my questions today, so thank you for that. But how does this stuff influence you outside of music as a, you know, just as if just a regular person?
That's a good question. I mean, I guess it comes down to like thinking about systems and how humans, me, and how, or how, not even, or how we're always participating in these broader systems that are that constitute our subjectivity or constitute ourselves, and that I think it is a good antidote to a certain kind of individualistic perspective, to feel like, you know, we're always more than just our, we're always a lot more than human, and a lot more than just one human. And I think a lot about like how my thought processes are always only exist in relation to the technologies that I'm living with. So the Kennedy, that's a good place to dwell as a specific example, because recently, or no, not even recently anymore, at the beginning of the pandemic, I got rid of my smartphone. I think that is like maybe a good specific to look at it, because it's like, we're not just like human consciousness that happens to have a smartphone. You know, we use it as an instrument, as this kind of cold technology that is outside of our brain or of our mind. It's like, you get something like that and it really becomes an extension and potentially overwhelms your way of thinking and your consciousness. So I think help thinking about things in a parasitic way or in a, it's kind of like symbiotes, it helps me kind of, and beyond just the biological, helps me be maybe a little more cautious and a little more critical of what kind of technologies I'm interacting with and thinking through.
Going back to your old friend Steve, it's repulsed yet intrigued.
Exactly. There's a lot of technologies out there that I have that dualistic relationship with.
Well, the goatee and earring look is a bit dated, but maybe the technology will look a bit dated too.
Yeah, but I gotta admit, I got an earring and I sported a goatee recently, so.
I'm sure you made it look great, though.
Steven lives.
Well, Steve, if you're out there, I hope you're doing all right. All right, wrapping up here, we've got the show, so go check it out. From a safe distance, of course, bring your own radio or car with radio. I think I'll have to bring my own radio. Anyways, is there any special way I think people can prepare themselves other than bringing a radio?
How can they prepare themselves? Okay, well, essentially, yeah, the idea behind this was that it started as a selfish idea. I was thinking, I got all this new music I've been working on, and I'm just like really missing performing in these things. So I was like, okay, well, how can I bring that back into this new world? And then I thought drive-in theaters, wonderful. So I guess it's a way that people can kind of obviously still see a body attached to, in space, attached to the voice that they're listening to. It's just nice to be like, okay, well, what technologies are we like, do we feel pretty comfortable with that have like, that's like a little more tried and tested with established ethics? I think radio is the one.
Radio wins again.
Radio wins once more. And so I thought, okay, let's just go, you know, you got to, it's going to definitely lose viewership, but you have to be tuned into the FM radio, because I know that you guys have a live stream and all, but it'll be lagged because of all that commuting time for the satellites and back. But to prepare, I'd say if you don't have a car, then bring an umbrella, because looks like it could be a bit drizzly. Bring an umbrella and a nice little portable radio, some headphones or whatever. The other thing is I'm anticipating is that I'm going to bring some jumper cables just in case people are draining their cars.
That's so sweet. Good idea.
I think that if I'm asking people to come out and risk draining their car batteries a little bit. I don't know, though. I think the radio doesn't really take much battery for the amount of time.
There's some crappy batteries out there, so I'm sure people appreciate the idea, though.
Yeah, no, I got to have it on standby for sure. I'll have those jumper cables for you. The performance will end, and then the star of the show will immediately go over to the jumper cable station and service your vehicle for you. You ever heard of a show like that?
Never. That's. Well, that sounds like one of a kind. Copyright Linda Fox, this has been a fun conversation, not only because I've had the chance to talk to someone I don't see every day, or, you know, frankly, I haven't seen you in almost years. Thank you so much for chatting with me today and telling us all about what goes into your music and life and how cool Rocky the dog is.
Yeah, he is. That's really a good place to leave it. Rocky the dog is the perfect, I almost called him the perfect human. That shows how I think about him.
Well,
the perfect living organism.
Well, please pass on some sweet little head scritches for me to Rocky, And hopefully I'll see you on Sunday either, or I'll at least hear you.
Sounds good. Thank you so much for having me.
It's been a pleasure. You take care. Have a great weekend.
Of confusion, but we really don't like how the truth looks like.